course, every race has its racist, awful people. The problem is we keep comparing the worst 10% of one race with, like, the best 10% of another race. Right? Which is obviously a mistake. Because what we should be doing is we should be getting the worst 10% of every race and comparing that so we can figure out which is the worst race. In fact, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it right now. Yeah, let's do it right now. Let's figure out which is the worst race right now. Okay? You guys up for it? Yeah. All right, okay, cool. Okay, cool. On three, I want you to shout out which race you think is the worst. All right? Okay? No. Don't worry. Don't worry. We'll all do it together. I'll join in. Of course, I'll join in. Right? No, don't worry. This is a comedy show. This is a safe space. We ask you to put your phones away for this moment right now. Now's the time to let it out. This is it. Don't bottle up and go crazy outside. Let's let it out now. Let the demons out now, all right? Okay? You don't even have to be specific, okay? Just shout a color. Okay? Guys, we all know what the answer's gonna be. Who are we fooling you? All right? Okay, on three. Worst race, on three, okay? One. This is happening! Whether you join in or not, you might as well say something. Even if you don't believe it, just as a creative exercise. Just lay it out. It's like speaking in tongues. Just go. All right, okay, on three. Okay, worst race, on three. All right? Okay, one, worst race. Two, three. If you said anything, you're the worst 10% of your race. That was fucking disgusting. Bunch of goddamn racists coming to my show in New York City, completely missing the point of that joke.
Yeah, it's been great meeting the different types of Americans as well. Think of all the different races, different ethnicities, different cities, all different people. Of all the Americans I've met, I think African Americans have got to be the coolest race of them all. All right, sorry. They're the coolest. Everything they do is just cooler. Everything they touch, it's just smoother, right? Sports, science, music, presidencies, right? Everything they do. They got the swag. Black people have the swag. You cannot deny the swag. Black people have the swag. Even white supremacists are like, yeah, they have swag. It's like undeniable coolness. Like, black people are so cool, they can own their own racial slur, okay? That's how cool they are. No other minority in America is cool enough to own their own slur. All right, you never see Chinese people walking around just going, hey, yo, my chinks. Yo, where my chinks at? Yo, holler at me, chinks. Yeah. My chinks. Hey, stay yellow, my fellows. What? Sounds awful. It's like nails on a chalkboard. My chains. I think outside of America, we think of America as like a monolith, right? Like America, Americans, like one entity, right? But you live here long enough, you realize it's such a big country. Every state is like its own nation unto itself, their own cuisine, their own way of talking, their own values, their own flags, right? That's why there's so much division here. It's all these different countries trying to federate and become so obvious once you start living here. You can tell the difference between the different types of Americans, the different energies, right? From East Coast to West Coast. It's so obvious, you can call it out. Like East Coast Americans, super intense, right? West Coast, everyone calms the fuck down a bit. Yeah, it's like the East Coast of America, everyone's still fighting the British. It's like they never got over it.
America is like, the whole world is in trouble. Let's use everything we've ever learned, our entire knowledge base, every resource at our disposal, every immigrant who ever got a PhD, every local born PhD student, let's combine forces and create this miracle mRNA vaccine in under a year. And we did it and it fucking works and fuck you, we're not gonna take it. Fuck you, we're not taking that shit. We're not taking that. You take it, we're not taking it, you take it. Oh what, oh what, you want it? Well, you want it? Well, fuck that, we're not gonna give it to ya! We'd rather throw it in the river! We'd rather throw it in the river. We'll suck it up from the river, suck it. Suck my dick. Fuck you and fuck us. Fuck you and fuck us. Oh, what? What? Does it work? Oh my god, it works like a charm! It's like a 90% efficacy, it blows all simulations out of the water, but fuck that shit, we're not taking it. Fuck you and fuck us. That is the most American shit ever.
Yeah, like I said, I used to live in Australia. I started doing comedy in Australia. Australia was always really good to me. My wife is Australian, and I love my wife a lot. I love my wife so much, I married her 3 times. That's right, I married the same woman 3 separate times. Why? Because when you have Asian parents, you have to get married. In every fucking country you have relatives in. Because Asian parents have to brag, okay? And I know every parent has to brag. I'm not trying to take anything away from anyone. Okay, I'm just saying Asian parents also have to brag, and like weddings is how they do it. So we had to get married 3 times. So the first wedding we had in Melbourne, Australia, because my wife is from Melbourne, Australia. Then we got married in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, even though I'm not from Kuala Lumpur, but who gives a fuck what the groom wants, right? Let's just find the nearest landmark in Malaysia everyone can pronounce. With the most direct flights. And then we got married in New York for green card purposes. So, 3 very romantic weddings for the right reasons. Chain migration. And let me tell you something. Let me speak from the heart here for just 1 minute, okay? If you take nothing else away from the show here tonight, please just hear me now, okay? I'm speaking from personal experience here. There are fewer joys you will experience in life than organizing 3 weddings at the same time. Oh my God, it's so much fun and so easy to do. I highly recommend it.
So like whenever I bring up another country to my American friends, will always bring up the one fact they read one time on the back of a Snapple cap. And then just like throw it back at you, and you try to use it to paint the entire history of your civilization with like whatever half-remembered back of the brainstem regurgitated fact. They can just flick it from this part to like this part as quickly as possible, right? Just spit it out. Like when I tell my American friends I grew up in Singapore, they're always like, Singapore? You grew up in Singapore? They cane people in Singapore. Right? Like in Singapore, if you spit gum on the floor, someone just runs up immediately behind you and just canes you in your ass. Right? And I'm like, yeah. So don't fucking do that shit. What is it? Some kind of innate need of yours? To visit other people's countries? And spit gum on the floor? In which case, please do not visit Singapore because they will cane you on your fucking face. And like some Americans are like outraged by that. The thought of grown men being caned on the ass for being a dick. It's like outrageous to them. But what's funny is you ask any American, especially any New Yorker, what they would do if a guest came into their home and spit gum on the floor, they would be like, we would beat the fuck out of it. I'm like, yeah, that's what we do in Singapore. We just outsource the ass kicking to the government. It becomes a more cost-efficient punishment for everyone involved. That's why we pay our taxes.
My first week in New York, I was on this crowded subway train and it was packed. all the way to the doors, right? I'm on the train and it's packed all the way to the doors, and the doors start closing in front of me. And as the doors start closing, this guy like walks up to the closing train doors and just jams his fingers. Just right into the door, no regard for his limbs or appendages. Like, his need to get on this train exceeded his need to grip things. He did a cost-benefit analysis in his head. And he was like, you know what? This is overrated. Right? Who needs this motion? Who needs this point of articulation, right? Let's get on this train, my life will be perfect. So it just creates enough of a gap to start fighting. And he fights this train for 8 seconds. He just fights it to a stalemate. Okay, it's a judge's decision. He can't move, the train can't move, no one can move. And after 8 seconds, he gets like tired. He starts gassing out. So he uses his head to jam up the door. Like a doorstop. As he readjusts his grip, right? He starts chalking up his hands for round two. And I'm standing there just facing the top of his oily scalp. Just thinking, yo man, just let it go, right? I'm new in town, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to help you or if we're both gonna get arrested. Okay, I don't know the social etiquette in this situation. All I know is there's a train in 3 minutes. That shit would never fly in Malaysia. Where I'm from in Malaysia, you stick a hand in the door's closed, you get dragged for like a mile. Right? You get brought to your knees by the system. As the train runs over you, it starts going after your family, right? You start like bleeding out on the tracks. The doors open, we all walk over your dead corpse. Yeah, that's what you get, you dumb fuck. Not in America. In America, one man can stop the entire train line. Because everyone can make a difference.
Like, I was walking down West 4th Street in Manhattan, in New York City, minding my own business, not looking at my phone, actually paying attention to the world around me. During the pandemic, right, just trying to get some fresh air, actually having a nice night. I was walking down the street in Manhattan, looking around, and out of nowhere, this woman walks right up to me, grabs me on the throat, and just starts squeezing. So, like, I throw her off, and then she squares up. And then I look at her, and I just walk away. And that's like a normal interaction in New York. Neither of us said a word. The entire time, we didn't even make a sound. We didn't review each other. Because we both knew what was going on. We both knew what that whole thing was about. I looked at her, and I was like, oh, you crazy. Just like everyone on the internet. All right, see you later, crazy. I didn't engage, and I walked away. And then she looked at me, and she was like, oh, this is not a man who's gonna fight a woman on the street. See you later, man. And then we just went separate ways. And that was the end of it. And I still respect that woman more than these fucking Twitter Yelp reviewing bloggers. Because she was unhappy about something in her life. She got off her ass and did something about it. She didn't just sit behind a keyboard tweeting with her balls, critiquing other people's creations without making anything for themselves, like a bunch of parasites eating the host. No. She didn't like Asian people. She went to commit a hate crime. And I can respect that. That's proactive. It's gotten to a point where you can flunk out of med school, very next day review doctors. Doesn't make any sense. Everybody reviewing everything like they're experts. People reviewing comedy. Can you imagine that? Who the fuck reviews comedy? So what the fuck do you know about it? Ever been on stage in your life trying to tell me how to do my job? That's like me going to a maternity ward in a hospital and giving women tips on how to give birth. Yeah, what kind of fucking asshole would go into a maternity ward and just look for women in labor? And just go, hey, you really should be pushing harder during childbirth. You don't look like you're pushing hard enough during childbirth. Well, I think you're relying too much on your ethnic background during childbirth. Oh, the C-section? Oh, that's a real lazy form of childbirth. 2 stars. It's also not my job to teach you how to fucking do comedy, all right? If you want to find out how to do this, you go do an open mic multiple times a night for the next decade, and you come and tell me, all right? If you think there's no artistry to this, if you think it's just about saying offensive shit or never saying anything offensive ever, then you fucking go do it. You do it and you tell me.